Welcome into the show on your Wednesday. I'm Clayton Morris.
I'm Natalie Morris.
And coming up on the show today, we're going to be looking at Vladimir Putin readying those nuclear warheads as further and further looks like we are slipping into a potential nuclear threat, a nuclear war with Russia. We're going to bring you the very latest on NATO's moves and what the Biden administration is doing this morning.
Also, what will that mean for you at the pump? You probably already know, but is there end in sight? We're going to discuss the economics of global supply chain.
And we've been hearing so much about Russia censoring media, so we found it odd that Ukraine decided to censor the media, pulling the plugs on three different television stations in Ukraine. That's right. So all of this talk about democracy and we stand for these Western values doesn't look like that's actually happening in Ukraine. All of that as Morning Invest starts right now.
All right. Good morning, everybody. Thank you for starting your day with us. We're happy to bring you the news on this Wednesday, the 10th of March. I'm Natalie Morris. This is Clayton over there. We are married and we produce this show and this newsletter for you every day of the week. Make sure you're subscribed. It's morninginvest.com.
Yeah. And we have a VIP way of joining us here. If you'd like to support independent journalism, independent media, we are not run by billionaires. So for the price of a cup of coffee once a month, 99 cents, you can do it as low as 99 cents or whatever tier you choose. It's totally up to you. Just go to morninginvest.com/join, and that's a YouTube subscription. So YouTube handles all of that, and they get their 30% and whatever. But that's how it is. So if you want to support the show that way, you can become a VIP and then be a part of our chat here during our live broadcast. So thanks for all of our channel members. We've got thousands of you, and we really appreciate all of our channel members. All right, let's start on today's show, because today's show, I think, really is all about context. Context. I mean, don't fall, guys. Don't fall for these crocodile tears that we're seeing right now from Washington. We're seeing a bunch of crocodile tears now from politicians, tears over the idea that Russia has invaded Ukraine, that somehow the United States and its allies are desperately caring about the Ukrainian people. We see these images of people getting on buses, and we want to make sure that those people are taken care of. If you listen to your politicians, that's the narrative that you're being spoon-fed. But make no mistake about it, if that were true, if we really cared about these human beings, we would not have violated the agreement that we struck with Russia a number of years ago and moved NATO to its doorsteps. But that's not stopping politicians from deciding we're going to keep ramping things up, sending missiles, sending jets, sending as much stuff as we can to Ukraine in order to fight Russia. Here was Chuck Schumer gleefully yesterday talking about all of these weapons and these javelins and these stingers that we're going to be sending to Ukraine. Listen.
There's a Holocaust going on. When you see that people are lined up on buses to just leave a conflict zone and Putin's artillery shells those buses, that is just below humanity, below dignity. We also need to give the brave Ukrainian fighting forces, who are doing much better than anyone ever imagined, the arms they need, whether it be javelins or stingers or anything else. They need these arms simply to defend themselves against brutal Russian aggression.
Okay, so that's the crocodile tears. We're so saddened by all of this. We didn't see this coming. Who could have seen this tragedy unfolding? And by the way, I'm going to label it a Holocaust.
Like, okay. Is there an ounce of proof that they hit a bus? Like,
I haven't seen it. I mean, again, there's reports on the ground, reporters who are absolutely saying, you know, people are drinking out of puddles. These reporters have seen that happening. Even Fox News reports have seen that happening. So, yes, there's absolute hardship. No one's in favor of an invasion from Russia into Ukraine. But this sort of painting this narrative that, you know, this came out of the blue.
Right.
We didn't see this coming at all is total garbage. And these neoconservatives and these warmongers have been all over Washington over the past 24 hours, you know, sitting in front of the Senate, talking in front of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, talking about how here are the solutions that we need to come up with. We need to funnel as much money as we can into this conflict to prop up the Ukrainian people and the Ukrainian government. Yesterday we saw, here she is. This is Avril Haines. She was there at one of these meeting. And she also penned an opinion piece of the same in Bloomberg, basically saying that she's a top spy chief, right? Saying that we are going to have a persistent and significant insurgency in Ukraine, and we are going to have to basically prop that up for years to come.
Well, let's explain this, right? So, okay, in context, yes, Russia has come into an area that they would like to annex in the same way as they did Crimea just a few years ago. They are unwelcomed. The Ukrainian people are fighting back. So those of you who say we must stand with Ukraine, you don't have to mean that you stand with the Ukrainian government, which is by all definition has been a corrupt government, but you can stand for a people saying we actually don't want to be a part of this government. That's fine and that's reasonable, right? But she is saying that the insurgency did not go the way Putin had intended. He thought it would be a quick annexation, much the way Crimea was, and he's going to stick with it, that we don't see an exit strategy. And it's not until he really feels significant amount of pain that he will take any exit strategy offered him, which means,
right.
continued involvement monetarily, by way of personnel, by mm-hmm. way of lives, by way of blood. And so right now, all of the Western media is interested in saving the Ukrainian government, but they're using sort of your empathy around the Ukrainian people to, by default, mean that you want to support the government. I think that's what's so dangerous here, because we're not saying here on this show that we don't support Ukrainian people. Obviously, anybody who's living in an area of conflict and who did not bring that on themselves should have the civil liberty to live a safe life.
Well, I think, to be clear, we also have to say that we support the Russian people, too.
Absolutely. That's, yes. Thank you for saying that. And so even just today, now McDonald's, after much pressure from the woke media, is saying, okay, we are going to shut down stores inside Russia, which, you know, to me, fine, you get healthier Russians, but what about the people who work there, right? What about the people who depend on that for a job? What about, like, that? It's not just that simple as, like, oh, good, we really showed Vladimir Putin. He is not Donald Trump. He doesn't eat McDonald's.
By the way, and like, all of the...
He doesn't depend on that for his meals?
No, and all of the spillover business that you get from these sort of anchor stores, when you close a Target, when you close a McDonald's, when you close up these places, all of the other business, the local businesses that are surrounding those businesses also suffer.
Yes.
And so, yes, the Ukrainian people, the Russian people suffering under these sanctions. So who are these saying, we're going to get to oil prices and oil sanctions here in just a moment or in a few minutes. But, you know, you have to ask yourself, like, who is this actually hurting? It's hurting the people, right? It's, who is it helping? It's not helping anyone. I don't know who it's helping. It's certainly not helping us to de-escalate. If you want to actually de-escalate in Ukraine, from Russia, then NATO needs to step back. NATO needs to step back. And that's exactly what happened last night. We actually had Vladimir Zelensky opening the door in an interview with ABC News. I don't know if you guys saw this, but he opened this door where he's like, basically, like, I'll take NATO, us joining NATO, I'll take it off of the table. What? Okay. Well, where is that story this morning? Who's covering that story?
Who said that? I'm sorry.
Vladimir Zelensky says, I will, forget NATO. Let's just take that off the table. Like, we want to end this. Like, that's the way to end this. Where is President Biden on this? Where is the rest of NATO on this issue? Where is the mainstream media on this issue to say, did you just hear what he said?
Right, then okay, let's that's de-escalate.
That's an opening. And Tulsi Gabbard says it perfectly. They don't want to de-escalate because this is exactly what the military-industrial complex wants. She was asked this question last night. She talked specifically about this Zelensky moment that no one's covering or talking about. She even said it happened on ABC News. ABC News itself didn't even cover it on their website. It was like they buried it. They hid it on purpose. Watch.
The foreign policy elites in Washington.
Nothing that the Biden administration has done has helped to make this situation better, has helped to de-escalate this situation, which is why the only conclusion that I can draw about why they have been completely silent and not engaging at all on this window of opportunity that President Zelensky opened last night is that what is happening before our eyes right now is exactly what they want to see continue. Why is that? Because it's good for the military-industrial complex. It makes these politicians look tough. And really, you know, it allows them to have this proxy war with Russia, something that Hillary Clinton laid out just recently. Really what their aims are, this war machine, this power elite in Washington, is they want to turn Ukraine into another Afghanistan, turn into these killing fields where this long-term insurgency is supported. And they bleed out and cripple, kill as many Russians as possible for who knows how long. And they're really showing their real aim in the fact that they're not taking action right now to end this conflict.
She's a great point. I mean, we have an opportunity to end this. And now we have NATO readying jets to send into Poland. I mean, this is the story of the day. I mean, really, on top of the fact that nuclear warheads are on alert. So Vladimir Putin has put his nuclear warhead team on alert.
Well, I mean, and the thing is,
threatening us. I mean, the idea that we're going to send NATO jets. What?
Can you blame Putin for doing that? He is like, knows that we are hyping this up and making it something that it is not in many cases, I feel. And so we're the only country in the world who has actually dropped nuclear bombs on another country. So why would he not have them ready?
Of course. I mean, here NATO is going to be sending jets in. I mean, and Poland, I mean, this specifically asked about that very question about Poland. I mean, bringing in these jets into Poland so that Polish fighters can then bring them into Ukraine. Like, so NATO not technically going to be delivering them, but that's how we get around with this technicality, that we can continue to funnel billions of dollars, $12 billion into Ukraine to support them. That's
well,
NATO.
Because they can't have, because the United States is really the founding force behind NATO. It does not exist without the United States. And so if Zelensky is saying, okay, let's just not talk about this anymore, and this is a de-escalation technique, whereas France has already said, look, if our involvement in NATO gets us dragged into a war, then we're not that interested in being a part of NATO. At least some politicians in France have said that, and other politicians around Europe are echoing that sentiment. So the United States cannot take that as a de-escalation tool if there is a risk that it shreds NATO to bits.
I mean, look, the UK media answered this question last night and asked one of their brigadier generals about this. You always got to bring in the military guys on this. You know, you got to bring in the military guys to lay it straight. So they asked him straight out about these Polish jets and like NATO bringing these jets in here. Isn't this World War III? She asks. Like, this is British media asking this question.
That is very dangerous area for Putin. Very dangerous indeed.
And what about the deal the Americans have been doing with the Poles overnight to try and provide backup aircraft so that the Polish planes can go into Ukraine? How much of a difference will that make? I mean, lots of experts saying World War III has already started. And I know Putin said that if any air support comes in from other countries, they're at war with him.
Well, it does seem that we're on a slightly slippery slope here, that we rule out a no-fly zone. We rule out providing directly aircraft from the US to the Ukrainians. But now we're doing some sort of deal with the Poles to allow American aircraft to go to Poland and then their aircraft to go into Ukraine. So I think this is really interesting territory, because I don't accept that we're at third world war. And I know that my colleagues are working desperately hard to avoid that. That is why they're taking the no-fly zone.
Sure, they're working desperately hard to avoid that. But yeah, I mean, for all intents and purposes, it is World War III. When you have the Russian government, which has said for years, here's our agreement, here's our ceasefire agreement going back decades, here's what we're agreeing to. Like, NATO cannot expand. NATO cannot expand 1 inch to the east. And what did we do? Immediately went into East Germany. Immediately. And then, of course, expanded even further, and then under Clinton expanded and continued to expand, and now pushing into Ukraine. Of course this is going to happen. And Noam Chomsky has been all over this for years. I mean,
he's a media theorist out of Berkeley.
He's the most peer-reviewed scholar on the planet. Mm-hmm. No scholar in the world has been more peer-reviewed in peer-reviewed research than Noam Chomsky.
Yes.
He explained that since 1990, NATO had marched ever closer to Russia's borders, threatening their security. He says that after installing a regime linked to neo-Nazis in 2014, which is what the Ukrainian government has become, the U.S. has toyed with the idea of allowing Ukraine to join NATO, something which goes to the very core of Russia's security interests. Here's Noam Chomsky on this prediction. He talked about it quite extensively years ago. Listen.
So Russia has been provoked.
Well, what happened? NATO instantly moved to East Germany. Then Clinton came along, expanded NATO right to the borders of Russia. Now there are the new Ukrainian government, the government after the overthrow of the preceding one, the parliament voted, I think, 300-8 or something like that, to move to join NATO.
You can understand why they would want to join NATO. You can see why Petro Poroshenko's government would probably see that it's protecting his country.
No, it's not protect. Crimea was taken away after the overthrow of the government. This is a serious strategic threat to Russia, which any Russian leader would have to react to. That's well understood.
I mean, Noam Chomsky's basic theory, right, in manufacturing consent is that in order to have a democracy, you must control information to manufacture consent to do whatever you want,
right,
and allow people to feel as if they are participating, even though you control the stream of information.
Right. So what is then the
stream? And that is exactly what's happening.
Right. So the stream of information that's flowing right now, you're hearing it from all quarters in Washington and the mainstream media. Just look today here. Do you guys know who this guy is? You might not know him to look at him. This guy is Elliot Cohen, one of the lead architects of the Iraq War. So if you're one of the lead architects of the Iraq War, of course, you're out there writing articles and you're speaking on media. You're being called in front of Congress to get your perspective on war and aggression and all of those things right now. He just penned a piece. He laid out exactly what he wants right here in this Atlantic piece, the strategy that can defeat Putin. He argues that we should do exactly what we did in the 1980s in Afghanistan. Literally arming
this is amazing piece. Like, this is a call to arms. It's basically a big wet kiss.
Think about what happened in the 1980s. We armed the Mujahideen, right, against Russian invaders in Afghanistan. I'm not making this up. Like, this is literally what he's calling for. Again, a return to that. He goes on in his Atlantic piece to endorse the use of suicide drones against Russians. He says that in this piece.
Yes, he does.
He goes on to say, Western strategy should rest on three pillars: vigorous and imaginative military support to Ukrainian regular and irregular forces. Then he calls it, Russian sanctions, the construction of a powerful military European alliance. So we've got to funnel more money and make it as strong as possible in NATO in Ukraine. So that's how this is going to present
that this itself. Is a call to arms for everyone who stands for Western ideals. The idea of a more united Europe is at stake here, and that all European countries should take this as a call to arms. And that he says something that really had me scratching my head, that you can respond, in kind with sort of violence and aggression at the same time as you're thinking rationally and critically. And that is exactly what's happened. It's like rational aggression.
And he says it's a moral imperative. He said the means at hand are obvious, even if the manner of their exploitation is not. The most obvious is the armament of Ukraine, which has already begun. It's a moral imperative, everyone. We have to arm them. But it is also a strategic imperative intended to hamstring the Russian military and weaken Putin's position. He goes on, support to the Ukrainian military should Ukrainian cities fall to continuing insurgency. So he wants a prolonged insurgency that will last years like we did in Afghanistan. Years. Says not just the sheer quantity of support, but its breadth made such a difference there, including man-portable air defense systems such as Stinger missiles, heavy machine guns, sniper rifles, secure communications technology. On and on the list goes. And he's not the only one, by the way. Max Boot, also writing an opinion piece in the Washington Post, says this. And by the way, he's a warmonger as well. Neoconservative warmonger Max Boot. He says that just because we're not willing to risk World War III doesn't mean we can't effectively oppose Russian aggression. Look at our support for Afghan Mujahideen in the 1980s. Here's another guy calling for, let's go back to the 1980s in Afghanistan.
That was good. That went
another
well.
Guy. I mean, these are the neoconservatives that you're getting in your media right now. I mean, the Washington Post is publishing this. I mean, the Atlantic is publishing this article. The list goes on. Bloomberg publishing this article by Avril Haines. I mean, this is what's happening, guys, right in front of your face. And someone asked in the chat, I think Steve Vanderford said, you know, if Clayton, you talked about crocodile tears in the media and these politicians. And I played a clip from Fox. He said, well, isn't Fox part of the media? And absolutely. But I played a clip of Tulsi Gabbard specifically answering a question about Western aggression. And the military.
And Fox gave her the platform to do it, right?
And Tulsi Gabbard is a Democrat,
right,
who ran for president and is also a soldier, is a veteran of the Iraq and Afghanistan wars. Like, here is a veteran who's speaking about the military-industrial complex on Western media. Like, I don't see
when
that happening.
She's got a Democrat from her party in office, and she is saying she doesn't agree with what he has done, which is, you know, when you think of the partisan lines along American politics at this point, it does seem as though support for war is fairly bipartisan. If not, would you say one side or the other is more in favor of...
No, they're both in favor of
this. It doesn't seem like there's much of a divide.
No, not at all. And once we get to gas prices, you're going to see like how, I mean, Democrats and Republicans, they're all up and jumping up and down and excited about gas.
Right, which is why, you know, this comment in the chat, I'm sorry I missed the person who said it, the name, but said that America is the people, not the government. And it's just, we have to be careful who we vote for, which is implying that we put people in place who we have authorized to do this, right? And I don't think that's necessarily the case, especially, as Noam Chomsky says, if there is a control of information. As Jean Baudrillard says, is that the Gulf War did not exist, that war is propaganda at this point, that we don't get the story right because the media and politicians are like this, and it is not necessarily representative democracy at this point. So do you feel that this military aggression is an extension of your democratic process? I'm asking you.
Right. Oh, I'm curious. I mean, you know, where are we black and white? Like Sandy in our chat says, you and Natalie are so black and white on so much. Don't be so surprised at the clapback. I mean, really? I'll ask, I mean, do you guys think we're black and white on these issues? I mean, we're showing you the nuance that gets completely lost in the mainstream media.
I don't understand that because I do not feel like a kind of person who thinks that changing my Twitter handle with a Ukrainian flag represents
but
the...
But maybe Sandy does. Maybe Sandy thinks like
I think that
changing
is a,
your Ukraine...
It is an oversimplification of people who do not understand the politics of the region. Just saying that... Because if you understood the history of the Rus people, right... And then you might understand that it's been more complicated between Moscow and Kiev for generations, centuries, right? And you might understand that you don't really know this complicated history. And you might understand that it's worth supporting Russian people as well as Ukrainian people who have nothing to do with this conflict.
And how many times have we ended up supporting the wrong side? Like, you know, like I'm not, it frustrates me because like even my email program that I use on my phone now has a Ukrainian flag on the icon of my phone. So if you look at my phone, I've got a Ukrainian icon on my email thing. And it's like, it's forcing me to support something that I don't actually support. I support the people for sure. But it's like, you know, like why should I support them over? I mean, what if I'm supporting the wrong side? They're literally Nazis fighting with them. So it's like,
yes.
So, you know, like, why is it like if I don't agree with that, I'm all of a sudden like an enemy of the state and I'm not on board. And I can't get behind this mob mentality that we have with everything.
No, and I flow where the facts go. Like I don't dig my feet in my heels in on any issue. I mean, I feel how I feel about hypocrisy and corporations running our country. When you say like it's Americans that are running our kids, not really. It's the corporations and the money that runs the United States of America and the military industrial complex. I dig my heels in on a few key issues like that, military budget and war.
Yeah.
But if you show me different facts, if you show me evidence of things happening and it's verified and it's peer reviewed or it's, you know, it's not just because some journalist or some media organization tells me, then I'm going to switch my viewpoint I'm going to go where the facts go.
And as soon as there's an online sentiment towards like everybody put a Ukrainian flag in their Twitter handle and then that's, you know, like the movement, that's when you stop and say, okay, but, you know, things trending online are mostly like The Bachelor and
well,
you
like
know,
even yesterday,
sports
Apple, like
stars
the Apple
and stuff.
Event, Apple event was trending because there was a big Apple event yesterday, right? And we talked here on the show that we hoped that when Apple did their hour-long presentation yesterday, it was a pre-recorded video that they put together announcing new products, that they weren't going to have some, they're going to spend the first like, you know, 2 minutes talking about Ukraine, right? Because then it's a woke big bowl of hypocrisy when you can have 2 minutes carved out of your presentation to talk about Ukraine and when at the same time you're selling products in China, which is arguably way worse.
Made in sweat factories
exactly.
by children. Yes.
So, you know, you got to pick your bowl of wokeness carefully. But no, Apple did not do that. They didn't do anything. They didn't talk about Ukraine. Then I listened to one of my tech podcasts today that I like, and they were like, well, we were really surprised that they didn't come out and talk about Ukraine. Like, that was their first assessment Gosh. Of the Apple event. And I was like, really? I'm like, I'm glad they didn't do that. I don't need a company that makes computers telling me how I'm supposed to feel about foreign policy.
Or that I'm glad now that, like, McDonald's, oh, good for you. You know, you're
like,
not...
Like, I feel better about going and getting a quarter pounder. I'm going to go support because they decided to close their restaurants in Russia. Woe is me. Well, give me a big freaking...
KT in the chat points out that McDonald's is still going to pay their employees there. Right. But you have to think about, like Clayton said, all the surrounding businesses and the suppliers, right? They're not still going to pay for their suppliers. What happens to those businesses?
Right.
It's a supply chain. It's a domino effect of events that will hurt people who have nothing to do with politics.
Right, the potato farmers and so forth. So those, all of those people, the paper maker, the paper products makers that make the cups and the paper plates and all of that stuff.
The truck drivers that drive the...
Yeah, yeah. The truck drivers, et cetera. You were going to say something, David?
I was just going to say, yeah. I still feel like it's like we have all of these people and companies that just support American supremacy. Like American supremacy is okay. You can be America can go over and willy-nilly bomb anywhere in the world, but we are the superior, so we're allowed to do it. Whereas Putin has been very strategic with what he's doing. There's still no proof. Like, I've seen videos of people at the border with bottled water and stuff, but there's all these stories coming out with no video evidence. So I'm very skeptical of what we're being fed for a reason, because this is what we do. We manufacture war with propaganda. That is what we have done.
We absolutely should be critical of this. We should question everything. These multi-billion dollar companies are making money and profiting off of this. Okay, make no mistake about it. When you can go on to politico.com and read an article about certain things, and when you go to politico.com, you can see that there's a sponsored post from Raytheon or Boeing telling you about world events. And wait a minute, this company that makes billions of dollars off of war is going to write up, has a sponsored post on Politico telling me about how I should feel about war? Something doesn't feel right. And we just read those articles not even knowing that they're a sponsor, right?
Well, it's the exact same thing as like Pfizer, you know, like during the whole pandemic, all the articles about the vaccine and stuff were all from Pfizer or all from Moderna. So it's like all of these things have a very vested interest in information, you know, going their way, because the military industrial complex, like, they make a ton of money. They have to justify this money. We're spending trillions of dollars a year on war. So they have to, you know, keep it going. And Russia's the new boogeyman.
Yeah.
Well, David, the pandemic was 10 years ago. It's over.
Right. That's right.
It's not right now. Now
Sorry
that we
to bring
have
it up
a war,
too soon.
We don't have to worry about it anymore.
Yeah. Don't just totally ignore it.
It's cool. Okay.
Well,
I told you.
I don't agree, because masks aren't officially over here until the 12th. So,
yeah, same. Oh, okay. Same here.
Well,
until
see,
the 22nd.
We talk about sponsors, right? We talk about sponsors. You don't know who a sponsor is. I'm going to tell you one of our. We have more news to talk about here on the show. We're going to talk about your gas prices and where things are heading. We're going to talk about the oil price of oil and Ukrainians censoring media. But I'm going to tell you about a sponsor, and I'm going to be right up front about it. They are a fantastic sponsor, and they are our friends over at ShipStation. Because, look, online shopping is not going to slow down anytime soon. Is your business ready to keep up with the pace? With ShipStation, you'll never have to worry about shipping again. Make the switch to a solution that handles all of your shipping needs quickly, affordably, and painlessly. ShipStation is already trusted by over 100,000 e-commerce sellers. Keep track of orders from any sales channel. Easily find the best shipping carrier and with deeply discounted rates. Automate just about any shipping task with just a few clicks. They're really fantastic. I love that they integrate with Wix, Etsy, eBay, DHL, all of you, Salesforce, Amazon Web Services, the U.S. Postal Service, UPS, all of it. Makes it very, very easy to connect with more carriers and all of these selling channels. You can save time by funneling all of your orders into one simple interface, no matter where you are selling. Save money and save time. All of it. Use my offer code INVEST to get 60-day free trial. You can ship more in less time with ShipStation. That's a 2 months that you get for free of no-hassle, stress-free shipping. Just go to ShipStation.com, click on the microphone at the top of the page, and type in the word INVEST. That's ShipStation. Make ship happen. Thanks to ShipStation for supporting the show.
All right. So Kent Carlson in the chat says he'd like to see a company say they will increase their presence in Russia and say, we stand with people. We can't think of people being starved or cut off from their electricity or like, no, that comment blows my mind.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Can you imagine if like Starbucks said that? I mean, they would be destroyed by the media. Well,
yeah.
Think about how you would feel. Like, let's all of us here, let's all go put that we support Russian people on our flags, on our profiles and see what happens.
You can't, because you will be banned.
You'll get canceled.
Just like Twitter did over the past few days, shutting down all of those accounts that said they have the hashtag, you know, I stand with Putin. Guess what? Their accounts got shut down.
But I think it's important that we put ourselves in their shoes of people who do not, who didn't vote for Vladimir Putin, who don't control the laws that he is now in perpetuity electable. And now they can't get on the subway. They can't exchange money through their money exchange. They, you know, it's harder for them to buy groceries. The pharmacies are empty. And think about you living there and being held accountable for the decisions of your elected leaders that you did not elect. And then thinking, well, okay, now what, right? I don't think any of us would like that. Let's think about like the fundamental golden rule, people.
Well, and but nobody's all been told, like, of course, that we've all been told, right, that we're going to starve Vladimir Putin. That's how we're going to end this whole conflict, is because we, by now, the United States coming forward, President Biden coming out and announcing that we are going to ban our importation of foreign Russian oil, that this is going to starve the regime. Basically, lying to the American people straight to their faces about what is actually going to unfold. Russia will be fine. Russia is going to be fine. They are not reliant on the United States to sustain themselves. They have plenty of other oil contracts from Turkey to India to China. It doesn't matter. The United States importing this oil is not going to starve them. Yet that's the way that President Biden played it yesterday, to make us all believe that we have to pay more for gas because we're doing our patriotic duty.
Today, I'm announcing the United States is targeting the main artery of Russia's economy. We're banning all imports of Russian oil and gas and energy. That means Russian oil will no longer be acceptable at U.S. ports, and the American people will deal another powerful blow to Putin's war machine. It's simply not true that my administration or policies are holding back domestic energy production.
Oh, really?
That's simply not true.
Oh, really? Really? Is that the case? That is such a lie, actually, because what did President Biden do right the very first day he came into office? He shut down the expansion of the XL pipeline.
Yes.
Right? You can be for or against it, but he's lying to you on that regard. What else did he do? President Biden, when he came in, basically said, we are not going to expand drilling. We're not going to expand permitting. And a few days before all of this actually happened, I thought it was really weird. A few days before all of this invasion happened, they stopped down on additional permitting in the Gulf and other areas, as if like they knew something was coming. Like, why suddenly, right before this Russian issue, do you stop these permitting process for expansion of oil drilling and natural gas? Like, coincidence? Look, I've been around Washington long enough and covered these idiots long enough to know that I don't believe in coincidences. Like, out of the blue, this happens as we are nearing a crisis. And now we get to, without a doubt, go in and say we're not going to import any Russian oil. And who hurts in all of this? It's not Putin. Is Vladimir Putin going to be hurt in all of this?
No. Not necessarily.
No. Who's going to be hurt? It's the American people are going to be hurt. We have the highest gas prices we've ever had in the United States now. And it's going to go up even more now. And you're being told that this is your patriotic duty because this is going to hurt Putin. Like, how's this going to hurt Putin?
Right. I mean, keep in mind that gas prices were skyrocketing before this conflict. And you can blame U.S. inflation. You can blame U.S. monetary policy. You can blame the fact that we create money out of thin air, right?
How about, I got a question for
but
you.
But this is more convenient.
Yeah.
To, like, you place the blame away from yourself. It's not our fault at all. It's global conflict, even though, yes, it already was happening. I mean, the chart was already like this, right? And then Ukrainian conflict is like at this cross section of time. Then it's like, it's about Ukraine. It's always been about Ukraine.
John Carlson,
pay no attention to the man behind the curtain.
John Carlson in our chat says gas in Moscow right now is $2.10 a gallon. Well, they're doing pretty well over there, right? But no, in Los Angeles, gas is over $7 a gallon and over $5 nationally, and it's going up again, and it's going to continue to go up because it's your patriotic duty. I got a question for you. Now our money is going to be flowing to Nicolas Maduro in Venezuela. It's going to be flowing into the Saudi regime once again. Why didn't we put sanctions on Saudi Arabia after they attacked us on 9/11?
No.
Because they buy our weapons.
After they literally bombed us.
Cannot do.
We didn't put any sanctions against Saudi Arabia for their involvement in harboring terrorists and bombing us on 9/11. We didn't do
anything. Well, that's what's so hypocritical.
Ignore it. Just look the other way. You're not allowed to even talk about it.
This is the hypocrisy still. It's like, you know, if I were a country, if I were Vladimir Putin myself, I'm putting myself in his shoes, and a country like the United States was putting weapons and stuff and arming literal Nazis in the country neighboring me, I would be concerned too, because look at our history. Look at what we do all over the world right now. We're drone striking. We're in like 9 different countries. We've got 1,000 bases all over the world. We are somebody that they should fear. And because we are the ones that will do this, we've dropped nuclear weapons. So if you compare us to Putin, Putin is not, he's not trying to get to dominate the world. He's not bombing Syria. He's not bombing Yemen. He's not working with Saudi Arabia. He's not doing the things that we do. So how can we sit here and say it's okay for us to do this, but you know what, Putin, do not try to stop us from putting missiles facing your country.
Well, I'm not really down with having Vladimir Putin with, you know, more power than the West. For me, they are equally undesirable.
But we don't know. Has he proven that he would be abuse that power? He hasn't proven it. We have.
Yes, I think that there are things in his track record that prove that, for instance, his treatment of Alexei Navalny. His treatment of even.
But what about our treatment of Assange and
right,
Snowden?
No, I mean, we can go head to head, right? And so we're not going to. I'm saying we're choosing neither at this point.
Right, but I'm saying
if somebody that he imprisoned for
Pussycat Dolls, I think.
Yeah.
It's not the Pussycat.
Pussy Riot.
Oh yeah.
Pussy Riot. Right. Are we allowed to say that?
Well, we'll find out.
It's just in
reference to cats, right?
That's why I wasn't going to say it. Yeah.
Okay. I mean, we can. The fact that he's changed the laws to be elected in perpetuity. There's a lot of things that I find extremely
I'm more comfortable
speaking on behalf of neither. Yes, I get it. The look, you know, look at us situation.
We're way
but
worse.
I don't think.
Like, I don't feel like we can, we are way worse than Putin.
Are these our choices, though? I mean, can I speak as a feminist for a second and say I want to defend no patriarchy? Is that okay?
So, I mean, yeah, I mean, we're having to pick between these two imperialist governments, basically. Like,
I'm just saying it's hypocrisy.
How many more
is
wars
all.
Have we started than, you know, okay, let's see. We started in Yemen, Syria. We went in Afghanistan, Iraq. How many has Russia started in the past few years? Okay, they wanted to annex Crimea, which arguably, maybe even they have a right to it. I mean, look. You know, when Khrushchev basically handed over Crimea to the Ukrainians, like he didn't even ask the people that live in Crimea if they wanted to be handed over to the Ukrainians, because so many ethnic Russians lived in Crimea. And they were like, wait a second. No, Khrushchev, like, no, we want to remain Russian. So there may be an argument to be had here that going back into Mother Russia is Crimea's natural state anyway. But hey, Apple Maps has now made sure that Crimea is redrawn so that it is a part of Ukraine. Just make no mistake about it. If you look at Apple Maps, even though like Russia believes that Crimea anyway. So yes, who's a worse country right now for invading whom, setting up military bases wherever? We could be arguing that, oh my God, now Russia is aligning itself with China. These two evil countries. And yet we're continuing to do all of the bombing and militarization around the world that we like. So I don't know.
Personally, if you ask me how I feel, I would be happy to see both regimes see a tower moment, which is like, you know, let them both implode and then let's actually, yeah, this, the tower is like the
tarot, yeah.
Yes, in the tarot deck, right? It's the archetype of like, it's like the Tower of Babel. Things come crumbling and you create something new. I don't root for either side.
And so where are we leading? We're leading towards a nuclear war because we can't leave well enough alone. Like if you really wanted to help the Ukrainian people, you really want to help end this conflict, then putting in Russian oil embargoes is not going to be the answer. You know, reliance on Americans, you know, making sure like what's in the best interest of Americans right now. Well, what's in the best interest of like middle class America is lowering gas prices. So maybe we could be opening up more drilling right now in the United States. Those permits that you have put your foot down on, Mr. President, maybe opening those up to some of these companies right now that actually could produce more American oil. But you're not going to do that. And I'm not in favor of.
I'm
not in favor of more fossil fuels, but we are in a crisis right now. And sometimes you have to do the lesser of two evils right now to fix the situation. But, you know, Jen Psaki yesterday totally lied right in her press conference. I don't know if you saw that. I mean, she came out having to, like, talk down to the reporters who were asking her about the, you know, the president's comments, how they have not slowed down on permitting. How, don't even remind me about the Keystone XL pipeline story. Ignore all of that. Don't even talk about that. And she had to come out with her facts yesterday. I love this. Watch this. She's going to tell us.
Let me give you the facts here. And I know that can be inconvenient, but I think they're important in this moment. To the contrary, we have been clear that in the short term, supply must keep up with the demand. Where we are, and here and around the world, will we make the shift to a secure, clear, clean energy future? We are one of the largest producers with a strong domestic oil and gas industry. We have actually produced more oil. It is at record numbers, and we will continue to produce more oil. There are 9,000 approved drilling permits that are not being used.
Oh, that's interesting on the drilling permits thing. So I did some reading on this morning because I was like, why? That doesn't make any sense. Like these approved drilling permits. Well, it turns out that these approved drilling permits are on areas where there's no oil. So it's like, here, I'm going to approve an oil permit for you to go drill oil here.
Cool.
But guess what? There's no oil here.
That's okay.
But why aren't you drilling? Why aren't you drilling in this oil permit land that I just gave you?
I don't know. If you believe that, I got a bridge to sell you.
There's no oil there, so you can't drill anything in it. No wonder you're not using the permit, because they've done their surveying of they use their equipment.
Yes.
To find out if there's oil. And it turns out there's not oil where these permits are approved. So I just love these politicians. It's amazing. And by the way, did you hear the rumors? I know we were talking about this on the show, that they are thinking about she could replace Rachel Maddow when Rachel Maddow retires on MSNBC. Doesn't surprise me at all. But we all have to do our part. David, you mentioned the Stephen Colbert the other night. And I wanted to pull this up. This is Stephen Colbert talking about, like, we all have to do our part right now. You know, I love when rich people tell us how we have to make sacrifices. Here's Stephen Colbert, who I've lost so much respect for over the past few years. I used to love the guy back when he was on Daily Show. I really can't stand him now. Watch.
Today, the average gas price in America hit an all-time record high of over $4 per gallon. Okay, that stings, but a clean conscience is worth a buck or two. I'm willing to pay.
Oh, so clean that we buy it from Venezuela. Okay, yeah. Cool.
You have a clean conscience now?
I feel so much better now.
Now you got your Saudi oil, Stephen. You got your Saudi oil. The
that
same people.
That feels better.
The regime that harbored terrorists and that attacked us on 9/11. You're okay with it. You've got a clean conscience on that?
Right.
And I'm surprised people clapped. Like, maybe the clap line came on.
All. I mean, they know what they're seeing. You know,
it's a laugh machine, though. You could just push a button. We have one of those, true. Don't we? Put on our laugh machine and I'll tell you.
We don't.
I'll tell you a funny joke.
How's that? So I'll just do that.
I was saying in the, like, when we were in like the pre-show, I kind of mentioned it, but one of the things with like the oil prices is that the American oil producers, like, it was actually shareholders that stifled the drilling and like the stockpiling because they thought that the oil companies were being irresponsible in releasing so much oil because the share prices were going down. So it was stockholders. So that's why like the gas prices started to spike before all of this happened, was because it was shareholders saying, you're not making us enough money. So it was actually corporate greed that's driving it up, or at least started the whole thing. So now, you know, it's not as simple as like Biden can just like, oh, no, we're going to fix this because he has no control over those shareholders.
Yes, just like food supplies. When we are told that we might have shortages of food, it has really nothing to do with supply of food. The world makes more than enough food for the amount of humans. The problem is waste and supply chain. We don't ship that to where people are hungry, and where people are not hungry, we have an abundance and we throw it away.
Yeah. Well, good news though. I mean, in all of this conflict, I know everyone at home has been wondering like, well, how are we going to solve this? Well, we just, you know, especially what's going on in Poland and these jets and the gas prices. Well, we are now they're sending in Kamala Harris.
Okay.
So this just updates just a few minutes ago. Kamala Harris is heading to Poland now.
Oh, thank goodness. It's over.
Amid the turbulence. Yeah. She's going to help with all of these jets now. These NATO jets that we're sending there to kind of elevate this conflict. Kamala Harris is going in there. You know, and if you need a reminder of how Kamala likes to, you know, explain, she's so great at explaining like what's going on in that region. Just a reminder on what's going on in Ukraine. If you tuned in late, let Kamala explain it to you.
Break it down in layman's terms for people who don't understand what's going on and how can this directly affect the people of the United States.
So Ukraine is a country in Europe. It exists next to another country called Russia. Russia is a bigger country. Russia is a powerful country. Russia decided to invade a smaller country called Ukraine. So basically that's wrong.
Thank you, Kamala.
She's going to go tell that to their faces.
Thank you.
Like, it's the explain always, like I'm five version.
Yeah, always good to have Kamala explain it. We should probably play that like once a week just so we can get into the nuance of what's actually happening.
Well, and that was only the audio. Okay. It didn't show the video where she was circling the countries with crayon.
This country big, this one small. That big one going there, that's
well,
bad.
Well, to be fair, he was asking, like, give me the dumbed down version. He's like,
that's
you know.
But that's not even the dumbed down version.
That's not like, even, oh my God. Like, my five-year-old could explain with more gravitas and nuance than what she just did. A big
okay.
country's invading.
I mean, I feel like.
Anyway, all right, let's move okay. on before you.
Put my foot in my mouth.
Yeah, exactly. I'm trying to stop you. I'm trying to look out for you.
You know
here.
Where I'm going with this,
I know,
you guys.
I'm
going
to
add a little empathy and then say stupid things. So let's just pretend I
yeah,
did
let's
that.
Let's just cut right to the skipping. Let's skip right out of the stupid
okay,
things.
Okay, insert Natalie's empathy and stupid thing. And then now Natalie's going to say a smart thing and tell us about our show sponsor over at HelloFresh. HelloFresh is a site that allows you to order meals that you can prepare at home, and they will send you all of the ingredients and the step-by-step, right, in an idiot-proof way.
Exactly.
Speaking of idiot-proof,
exactly.
right? Okay, HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit. It takes just minutes to prepare your dinner according to these instructions, and you don't have to worry if you've forgotten an ingredient, which actually is my specialty. Right,
yes.
Clayton.
Yes.
Clayton's like, I'm going to make this. And I'm like, you don't
hamburgers.
Have that. So
we're going to have the hamburgers. Like, oh, where's the beef? Well, okay. We don't have that tonight. I forgot to get the meat.
Right. Here's something that like I'm famous for is that I never buy buttermilk because it's just so easy to make it if you just take regular whole milk and add a splash of acid. And that blows Clayton's mind. He can't take it. And he's like, but this is not buttermilk. I'm like, yeah, but you can. You can make your own. You just have to let it sit. And he's like, no, you need the real thing. Okay, so these marital conflicts will be avoided with HelloFresh because they are meal packages, right? Entirely packaged with everything you need. They deliver pre-portioned ingredients to your door, including farm fresh produce that arrives within a week. So you get convenience without skimping on quality. And here's my favorite part. You skip your trip to the grocery store.
And you're saving like 30% off your grocery bill.
Absolutely. Too. Right. You can whip up meals like beef tenderloin and cheese fondue or miso sesame shrimp and bacon ramen. These are things, obviously you would order those things off of a menu, but I do not use my creative juices to come up with things like this. In my house, it's roast chicken and broccoli. There you go. This really helps to add some creativity to our weeks without me having to think it through and watch a bunch of YouTube videos. HelloFresh cuts back on time spent in the kitchen with meals ready in around 30 minutes or less. Plus, they're quick and easy, and they have 20-minute recipes. So right now, you can go to HelloFresh.com and use HelloFresh.com/invest16 and use the code INVEST16 for up to 16 free meals and 3 free gifts. That's HelloFresh.com/invest16. HelloFresh is America's number one meal kit.
All right, let's talk about what's been going on in the Ukrainian region, because we haven't really talked about that at all today on the show. Okay. You know, we've paid a lot of lip service over the past few weeks to censorship. We've talked quite a bit about Russian censorship, you know, shutting down different media channels in Russia. We've talked about what Vladimir Putin has been doing, that it's illegal to use the word war in Russia. It's a special operation, so be careful. We've obviously known what Vladimir Putin is capable of. But what you might not know, and I've not seen any Western media covering the story at all, good luck trying to find it on ABC, CNN, CBS, anywhere, which is that the Ukrainian government has decided to also ban a number of television stations. So they're calling this, on an Al Jazeera article, in a risky move, Ukraine's president bans pro-Russian media. In fact, they've unplugged 3 television networks. Vladimir Zelensky, you know, the guy that you're supposed to support because he's like he's like the greatest hero of all time, right?
American values. He supports American values.
Yeah, American values, Western values. Remember, we were preached to about Western values from our members of Congress and others about, and Kamala Harris was telling us about Western values. Well, yes, Vladimir Zelensky has unplugged 3 television networks that he accuses of spreading Kremlin-funded, quote, propaganda. Which is surprising to me. Think about how many times now the Ukrainian government has lied about what has been happening in this war. Oh, a nuclear power plant was attacked and it's leaking radiation. Was a lie.
Yes.
On and on the list goes, from the Ukrainian government telling us what is going on there. And then when we investigate and find out about it, actually it turns out not to be the case at all. Remember the 13 soldiers that said, oh, are you a Russian warship? Well, go F yourself. And then they end up getting killed. Turns out that's fake as well. That didn't happen. That was leaked from government sources as well. But you can shut down television stations for speech that you don't like.
Well, the United States supports this.
Of course they do.
The European Union might have condemned it, but in fact, a U.S. official in Europe seemed pleased. And the quote here is, media freedom does not include the right to spread malicious propaganda and disinformation. but by definition, it does. Girl, yes, it does. We support Ukraine's... that was me saying that. Okay, back to the quote. We support Ukraine's decision to defend its sovereignty and territorial integrity by countering Russia's blatant and malign influence. Okay, but when Zelensky was elected in 2019, he pledged he would never do this, that he would never shut down media, that he welcomes free speech, right? That's not what this is. And this has left... And these are 3 Russians, and they're... This is leaving people who speak Russian in this area without any other resource for news as well. And, you know, if you want to draw a parallel, because these media outlets had been critical of the Zelensky presidency. In fact, his approval rating was quite low before this conflict. This is a lot like Obama shutting down Fox News, right? We can draw that parallel because these are networks that were already critical to him prior to this conflict.
So their anchors in this piece, it's interesting, their anchors often called the central government's conflict with Russia-backed separatists in the southeastern region of the Donbas region a civil war, because that's what it was.
But that's
but
not...
You're not allowed to call it that.
What?
You can't call it that.
That's not the company line.
If you don't follow the company line, you'll be shut down. And they said that Crimea's population overwhelmingly supported their peninsula's annexation by Moscow. That is also true, by the way. You know, people want to cry about Crimea, but as I pointed out earlier in the show, when Khrushchev just handed Crimea over to the Ukrainians without even asking the people of Crimea if they wanted to be handed over to Ukraine, they didn't. They're ethnic Russians. They did not want to be annexed by Ukraine. They wanted to go back to Mother Russia. You can't talk about this, though. So if you do talk about this, Zelensky will come in and shut you down your television stations. I mean, this is exactly the kind of Western values. So this is what, like, Stephen Colbert talks about. Like, hey, you're going to pay more for your gasoline at home in America now. It's going to cost more for you to do live your life in America. But you're going to be paying more for gasoline in the United States of America. But this is supporting these Western values that we hold dear.
Yeah, they're right in line.
Mm-hmm. Which, AKA American supremacy. That's, we should say it like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
AKA American
supremacy. Because that's what it is.
But, you know, hey, you got to pay more for gasoline in the United States. And that's part of your, and you want to, by the way, you want to pay more for gasoline. CNN did this story. They covered this and they said, oh, you know, we've been talking to so many Americans, because that's what CNN does. Remember, there's a famous story a few months ago where they spoke to the average American family during the pandemic who had 12 children.
Yes.
About how high milk prices were hurting them and how, you know, inflation was hurting the average American family with 12 children. So they went out and hit the streets and they're talking to average Americans and they're reporting. And it turns out, you guys really want to pay more for gasoline.
People we've spoken to over the last couple weeks, they're okay paying higher prices if it means holding Russia accountable for what they are doing in Ukraine. But these prices are likely going to creep higher.
Okay.
I mean, okay, she just did what we call in the business, man on the street, where Clayton and I have done this many times. Mm-hmm. And
why couldn't she give us that soundbite from an actual person?
Well, maybe she had them. I don't know.
The people we've been speaking to, I've been speaking to.
Sure, somebody's going to say that. You know,
let's ask the chat.
Feed them that too.
So Rasmussen is out with a poll. There's been all these polls, right? I was watching Bloomberg this morning. They were citing the polls and they're saying, you know, these prices are high, but we keep seeing all of these polls where all of these Americans in these polls are saying that they're okay with the higher gas prices as long as it's sticking it to Putin. So I'm just going to ask you, we got 3,100 people or so watching live right now this show. Let's make a poll. Can we do a poll right now here live on our show? How many of you are okay paying more for gasoline if it means sticking it to Putin? By the way, which is ridiculous because it doesn't stick it to Putin.
No.
Putin's just fine with our oil embargo. So that's like I don't know. What's the best way to describe that? Non sequitur?
It's non-plussing.
Doesn't make any sense.
It's nonsense.
Stupid as crap. I don't know. But anyway.
It's not going to work here anymore.
Would you be okay? Are you okay paying more for gasoline because this is how you support Western democracy? Like,
we already have sense. We already have 9% at yes out of 100, over 100 votes.
Wow.
At yes, they would.
You guys support paying higher gas prices.
Okay. From Venezuela, sorry, we have to let you know that it is not, there's like, it's false like a choice. Diamond. There's no.
Sandy McLeod, who's always the contrarian, says false choice, not playing the game.
Well, yeah, right? Because it's not that simple.
We're
oversimplifying a question.
But that's how these polls are presented. And so all of these polls that you're seeing across the media right now, and Stephen Colbert going out there saying that he's okay paying more for gasoline right now because it's for his conscience, right? He has a clear conscience as a result of it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a false equivalency. That's what I was looking for. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I don't think that Anthony Goodley says that.
You can dish it out. You just can't take it, Sandy. Is that it?
What are we talking about? I'm not in this.
No. Anthony Goodley said 10% of the viewers in here are rich.
Yeah, it's interesting.
So that's the poll. Right? That's what I wanted to get to. So the polling, and Rasmussen has it here. Here's the poll, right? So here's one. Rasmussen did the same poll, and they found out that when you looked at the slide, anyone who makes under $30,000 a year overwhelmingly does not support increased oil prices and increased gas prices. But then it went up and up and up. As soon as you're making a lot more money. Like, if you're wealthy, you're okay with it. You're absolutely okay with it because you don't feel it. And like Stephen Colbert, who can talk about paying more for gasoline, drives a Tesla.
Okay, but I think we're also simplifying intent here. Like, what if you are okay to pay more for gas because you're hoping that pain point pushes your society towards clean energy?
That's a different question, though.
It is a different question, but...
But the question, if we knew, so if it were true, let me just say this, if it were true that paying more for American gasoline literally saved lives in Ukraine, would you support that? If you knew that that was the truth, and it's not, and it's not. It's not the truth, and it's not going to happen, and it's not doing anything.
It's just such a flawed question, but I appreciate the sentiment, right? We're trying to replicate a very flawed question.
Right, but CNN didn't stop them from, though, doing this story.
People we've spoken to over the last couple weeks, they're okay paying higher prices if it means holding Russia accountable for what they are doing in Ukraine.
Wait.
But this is the same media that told us during Christmas time that you were okay to pay more prices for everything, not just gas, right? This is the same media that said prices for everything are going up and you're all fine with it. So go ahead, David.
I was just going to say, so we're to assume that she's been outside gas stations for the past 2 weeks asking people that question?
Yeah. She's standing there.
She's actually at a toll booth, it looks like, isn't she?
No, she's in front of a gas station, I think.
Yeah, that is. Okay.
But I could go, hey, we got to go shoot in front of this gas station so it looks legit. Like the weather guy that's like acting like the wind's blowing him really hard and then there's people walking behind him. You ever see that CNN footage? It's kind of the same thing. We don't know. Yeah. Like there's no, show us the interviews, show us real people answering these questions.
Even though one or two people saying those words, though, is anecdotal. It's not a representative sample.
But if you don't have, if you have zero people that are actually saying it when you're at the pump, because if you have people that are at the pumps most of the time, you know, like those are just average working people.
Yeah, so, sure. You know.
Well, I think something that, so you kind of get into the, what do you call it, like the fatalism of poverty. And I think the problem with a lot of this, like when they're doing these polls and they're asking people, you know, like people with more money would be fine to pay more for gas. The people that don't have that much money have no choice. There's literally nothing they can do. They don't have political influence because they can't afford it. So they're not given an actual choice in who to vote for because that's all done by that same elite group. So it's like the people that are really going to be affected by this stuff also have no choice in the matter. It's they're just it just frustrates me.
Yes.
And just an update on the poll really quick. For about 500 votes, we're at 12% yes, 88% no.
Okay. All right. You stick it to the man. Then you 10%, 12%.
Yeah.
All right. We're going to move on to what's trending. There's a nipple in it today.
Whoa. A nipple?
I'm going to leave you with that little nip. Clayton, why don't you talk about the show sponsor and then we'll get there.
Yes, I will do that. I want to tell you about our friends over at IP Vanish, right? Are you tired of feeling like someone is snooping on your internet, right? Are you tired of people like looking around at what you're doing online? Well, if you are, you're not alone. Advertisers know a bit too much about you and they want more. They want to buy as much info as they can. There's data brokers that sell your information if they have access to it. And by the way, using incognito mode is not enough. Like that's not going to do anything. Right? Because Google still has that information. So it doesn't matter. IP Vanish, though, will help you browse safely on the internet without exposing your private details to third parties such as hackers, your ISP, or advertisers. You can use IP Vanish on your computer, your tablet, your phone, even devices like your Fire Stick when you're streaming media. When you use IP Vanish, all of your data is encrypted. This means that your private details, passwords, communications, browsing history, and more will be completely shielded from falling into the wrong hands. Even your physical location will be hidden. You can use IP Vanish on unlimited devices without sacrificing on speed. Your computers, your tablets, your phone, even your devices like your Fire Stick will still be snappy. So go to ipvanish.com/invest and use the promo code INVEST to claim your 70% savings. You're going to get 70% off right now. They're offering an incredible 70% off their yearly plan for listeners of this show with a 30-day money-back guarantee. Just try it. It's like getting 9 months for free of using their service. So, and they've got 4.6 out of 5 on Trustpilot. They're really, really great. So go to ipvanish.com/invest. Use promo code INVEST to claim your 70% savings. That's IPVanish, IPVanish.com/invest. Our thanks to IP Vanish for supporting independent journalism and the show that we do here.
All right, let me tell you what's been trending on the internet over the last 24 hours since we met last here. Spotify and Discord are both trending because the streaming services suffered outages on Tuesday, and there were many conspiracy theories about timing. Was this convenient? What are they shutting down? But Spotify says everything's better now. You're okay. I think you're all up and running.
Okay.
Aaron Rodgers is trending. The Packers quarterback agreed to a four-year, $200 million extension, which makes him... Do you have the picture of him? I had a good little scruffy picture in my... Nope. Hang on a second, guys. We'll show you.
In case you don't know
what he looks like. A-Rodge. Doesn't look like it made it here.
Okay.
All right. You know what he looks like.
Oh, there is one.
Oh, okay. It's him looking like, yo. He always looks stoned these days. So, yeah, they picked him back up.
He looks like the dude from The Big Lebowski, one of the nihilists.
He does look like a nihilist. Yeah. The dude abides. $200 million. J.K. Rowling is trending because of controversial tweets about a new transgender law in Scotland. And she tweeted these things on International Women's Day. And so people are saying she is anti-woman. She is a bigot. When asked... Let's see, do we have these tweets? This is her response to someone said, okay, do you really want this to... Okay, here is her tweet saying that you literally could not define what a woman is because of some of these laws. So what they're doing in Scotland is they're trying to lower the age of some gender reassignment processes. And, you know, when pushed about it, there's just sort of... political gobbledygook, and she is saying, well, you know, there is a purpose to defining a woman, and people are saying, are you sure you really want to die on this hill? And her response, the tweet right next to it, please. Yes, this one is, absolutely, I am staying right here on this hill defending the right of women and girls to talk about themselves and their bodies and their lives in any way they damn well please. You worry about your legacy, and I will worry about mine.
Good for her.
This law is really interesting too, because like in the law, like when a baby is born at the hospital, like it won't say on the form anymore like what gender it is. Like they're like
in Scotland,
like that's part of the law. Like here is baby.
Okay,
here's your baby.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
Not really related, but I do find it interesting that J.K. Rowling was having a Twitter war with Scarlet Witch, Wanda yes. Maximoff. So. That's a dangerous argument to get into. Okay.
Yeah. I'm
done. Yes. Yeah. I'm going to say a little bit more. Oh, about
that's
that.
Not the real one. Okay. I thought that was really her. I just had a glance at it to see Wanda Maximoff.
So you know, she's a fictitious character.
I know. At first, I thought it was like,
wait what?
From.
Okay.
Don't ruin it.
Well, okay. In related news, Idaho is trending because the state has voted to block gender reassignment surgeries and puberty blockers and other hormone therapies for minors. This, again, is being presented as something that's anti-trans or transphobic, but what it really does is moves the legal age from 16 to 18 so that... again, I know we've talked about this before on the show. I don't want to bring it up again and go all the way down this rabbit hole, but puberty blockers and hormone replacement therapy is not a neutral act. It does, in fact, render people sterile, and it does, in fact, alter your brain chemistry. And so the state of Idaho is saying you need to wait an extra 2 years for this. The problem is that people who feel gender dysmorphic feel that 2 years... is pivotal because their puberty towards their birth gender will advance in a way that they may not want it to, right? But these are really serious drugs that we are saying that minors can use. And what bothers me the most here, I said I wouldn't do this, but I'm going to do it a little.
Go for it.
A little. What bothers me the most here is this idea is this threat of suicide, right? If you don't let me do this, I will kill myself, right? And so this is a dangerous precedent to set. And there is data that shows that this threat of suicide is socially spread. In fact, many of the YouTube influencers who are coaching people on their gender dysmorphia say, tell your parents and your the experts or whatever adults in your life that you'll kill yourself if not, right? Whether these children were suicidal or not. And when you think about body dysmorphia, not just gender dysmorphia, if a child is anorexic or has bulimia or something like that, and they say, well, if you don't support me, I will kill myself. Like, this threat is a zero-sum game, right? As if you can, and as if you have to let children self-diagnosed, let them pick up dangerous pharmaceuticals, you must believe them. You must just let this happen, right? And so I understand that these 2 years are pivotal, but I think this idea of like, of this threat is, I'm going to recommend a book and let her say it better than me, because I do feel like this is it's an argument that must be had. And when transgendered advocates say, oh, this is transphobic, it's a like shut down the conversation that we must allow the pharmaceuticals to be the solution to this. You shut up, don't talk about it, or else you're transgendered. Let me find the book.
Well, and while you look for the book, it's like,
Damage It by Abigail Schreer. Please read this book before you just call people who want to maybe not give their children these toxic chemicals that are highly related to disease later in life until at least they're 18.
And I would argue even older. You can't even drink till you're 21. It's like, you know, like what decisions you're letting them decide a life-altering thing still as a child. And I think that should be, you know, something that they do even 25, I would argue for, because the thing is, like, a lot of times it's kind of with some, not all, a phase that they're going through, or in some cases. So, you know, it's like you got to give them time to kind of grow up a little bit and not make these decisions as a child, because if you're going to open that door, then why can't they go get married? Why can't they, you know, do all these other things, like make these other life altering decisions at that age?
Yeah, like Haj McGee in our chat says the brain isn't fully developed until the age of 23.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes. And, you know, some people transition very successfully later in life. You know, they're treating puberty as if it is a smoking gun. Like, you gotta stop it now or else this person will kill themselves. And this is very dangerous. And especially in this kind of gender dysphoria, which happens later in life, for like, this is the craze right now, is that young girls who develop it in their well into their teens, when true gender dysphoria happens more actually statistically in boys and develops much, much earlier than your teens.
Sandy in our chat said, Natalie and Clayton, can you put what you're reading on your website, trying to unplug and read more? We could maybe think about doing that on our website at morninginvest.com, maybe have a section, but we are both on goodreads.com. Goodreads is like the social network for book readers.
Yes, it is owned by Amazon, but that's...
They got bought by Amazon.
Yeah, that is where we use...
But they don't really do anything. Like, they haven't changed... Amazon hasn't really changed them at all. If anything, they've just integrated it with a little Amazon a little bit.
Like, I don't know that that's true, because okay, I do think that search is ranked in a biased way.
Oh, okay. But anyway, there at least we post kind of like what we've been reading. What was the name of that book again? I was trying to...
Irreversible Damage by Abigail Schreer. And that book is
a jaw dropper.
It is. And it is not a trans. I am not a transphobe at all. But it haunts me to think of what's happening to a young person's prepubescent body when we give. And also, I am not the kind of person who thinks the pharmaceutical companies have the answer to true gender dysphoria. And it haunts me. I went down the rabbit hole, and I promised you I wouldn't.
I just wish personally that people could just accept themselves for, you know, whatever it is that they feel they are, and not be pushed into these areas, especially by pharmaceutical companies, to be pushed into something that isn't necessarily going to make them as happy as they feel like it would, you know, when they're thinking about it. Like, I just wish we could all be more accepting.
Transitioning does not actually lower incidence of depression.
No, in fact, someone in our chat a few minutes ago wrote that even transitioning, there's like a 67% chance of suicide even after transitioning. So it's not like that's the answer. like, oh, now no more suicide as a result.
And you also can make the point that it's the binary of like feminine and masculine that hurts people, and how many people live their lives somewhere on the spectrum that is not binary. And if you can just be a woman who feels more masculine and presents that way without going to Pfizer as your answer, right?
Pfizer gives more of our money.
If I had a kid, my son, and he wanted to wear a dress to school, I'd let him wear a dress to school. I wouldn't say, oh, he's a girl.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, I would just accept.
Do whatever.
Yeah, go whatever direction you want to go, but you don't have to change your gender to do it.
Right.
I mean, but so I think this ends up into like a false dichotomy. And I think like a lot of the topics we talk about on here end up being like a false dichotomy. Like nothing is simple.
Yes.
It's not like this should be or this shouldn't be. Because they're for so many people, that transition is absolutely necessary for them
because society makes them feel that
no,
way.
No, it's not society doing this. It's not like mother culture whispering in our ear. There's way too many influences for this to be dichotomous. There's not just one or the other. It's just way too big. There is no answer.
And so if you think that someone should maybe wait to make this decision, you're labeled a transphobe. And that is an oversimplification of the issue, because many people should transition. Absolutely. Some people are born in a body that they feel very disingenuous to who they are. And that should be fine. Right. But allowing children to make this decision for themselves is very dangerous too. So thank you for that qualifier, Philip. As usual, he doesn't say much, but he hits bullseyes.
Exactly.
Okay. Prince John is trending because Representative Lauren Boebert said that this was a strange quote on Fox. I don't know who's taxing us. Is it Prince John? And no one can figure out who is Prince John. Let's let her say it.
Work, not OPEC. And I don't know who's running the federal government these days, Joe Biden or Prince John but they're taxing us into poverty. Look.
Prince John from Prince John, who lives at One Prince John Way.
Maybe she meant Princeton. Maybe it was Prince John from Princeton.
Or maybe she was meaning to talk about the Prince of Saudi Arabia or something like that. Or I don't know. I don't know who. But Jesse Waters didn't even look like he moved. Like, I thought it was like a cardboard cutout of him. Like, look at that.
Work, not OPEC. And I don't know who's running the federal government these days. Joe Biden or Prince John
he doesn't even blink.
Prince John, but they're taxing us into poverty.
He does look
like it. I don't know if he left. Maybe they slid in a wax figure in his place because
he's like, who yes, is she? Is Prince that the, John?
Is that the North she's, Dakota governor?
Yes. Lauren Boebert.
No, yeah. No, she's not a governor. No, she's that's, a representative.
She's a representative.
She's a congresswoman.
Okay. Yeah.
Lauren Boebert.
She All looks right. like the governor.
And Camila Cabello is trending unana because she accidentally showed off a nipple during a virtual appearance for a UK
Hers
television
or someone
show.
Else's.
A sandwich, and I got to make it easy for myself today.
Love it.
But I think my favorite Bomb Bomb dance move would be, it's like a slash you.
Sorry, guys, it's blurred. So they said, what's her favorite dance move? And she's like, sure, I'll show you. And then she went to move her shirt around, forgetting that she was braless, girl. She admits that that was a faux pas, and she says she was hungover. So that's better.
That's because I just had a sandwich, and I got to make it easy for myself today.
Love it.
But I think my favorite Bomb Bomb dance move would be, it's like a, oops, I almost flashed you.
Almost flashed you, she said.
And then she says later, oh, I hope you didn't see a nipple. And they're like, we did.
We did.
We saw that. Girl.
We didn't hear on this show.
So where's her FCC fine and being canceled by CBS and all of that? It was a wardrobe dysfunction.
Is there a way that we can reverse blur something? Is there?
I mean,
I
can edit a nipple back into it, but I can't guarantee it will be hers. So
yeah, it could be anybody's nipple.
It could be mine. It could be mine, and you could actually show it because if it was mine,
no, we prefer a hairless one, please.
Like a random hair, like
he
a
shaves.
David's
he shaves
hairy his. Nipple in there.
Yeah.
And you've always got a folder on your desktop of nipples in case you need to for editing purposes.
I do.
I have tons of them.
And because that day you at the beach, I have yours, Clayton.
I'm just so like fascinated by this. Like, okay, I've got a national interview in the UK. I'm ready. I don't need a bra. Cool.
She's Camilla whatever.
I mean, that's me. I'd do the same. I don't wear a bra for any interview.
Maybe she never wears a bra. Maybe she's just like...
Good for her.
That's comfortable for her. Yeah, I mean, that's a trend, guys. That's a post-COVID trend, is people not wearing a bra, which I support.
I support that too.
But I don't support, if you know what I mean.
I just feel like that would be... Like me as a guy, like thinking about having something on me all day long like that would drive me insane, I think.
Yeah.
It's more uncomfortable without, in my opinion.
Really?
So, yes. Oh. To me. But I got sizable ones and it's uncomfortable if they're not reined in. So that's how that works. I mean, do you just walk around with your ding-a-ling like flopping about? No. You need to rein it in.
Mm-hmm. I don't rein mine in.
Okay.
It reins me in.
I mean, if it's flopping around, sometimes I'll just throw it over my shoulder just to make sure it's out of the way, you know?
Do your ears hang low? Do they Okay, we're done here, guys. This is it. That's it. Subscribe to the newsletter. First we're going to do a sponsor and then we're going to get to your super chats.
Yes, we have super chats. We have some good questions in our super chats too. Plus, I want to get to the end of this poll too, this gas poll. But I want to tell you quickly, because we've got our friends over at Moomoo have just launched a new promotion where they're giving away five stocks for free when you open your account. And you get stocks for free just opening the account. And then when you make that deposit, you get additional stocks. Plus, they're giving a free stock, NIO. They're giving an NIO stock, a share away for free when you also sign up. That's how great this promotion is right now from our friends over at Moomoo. And like I said, if you want to like change your life and start learning how to make some money on the side, even if it's like a little bit of money, you know, you use like $50. I know traders who started with $200 and they've made tens of thousands of dollars, because if you trade right and you learn the system, then you can make a lot of money. I'm telling you. And they have free courses right on Moomoo's website right here. So, but you need to get those free stocks first. You go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo, that's M-O-O-M-O-O, and you go right here, click on the lessons in library, and you can take their free courses so you can learn how to start trading. If you've got a few extra hours, you know, like Sandy in our chat said, she's trying to unplug more and read more, I would encourage that, reading more, but also, you know, maybe taking a class, you know, like learning something that can really improve your overall skills, like understanding how this market works. And so it's not just Wall Street people making money. Why don't you make a few thousand extra dollars per month? And you can do that on Moomoo. Go to morninginvest.com/Moomoo today to get those five free stocks plus your bonuses. Learn about investing and see about this great platform that you can download on any of your iPads, your desktop, your computer, your PC, your Mac, your iPhones, your Android device. They've got apps for all of those platforms. That's what Moomoo does. They've got news and everything else too that you can click on and see what's happening in the market right here with the biggest... Read about the oil prices, what's going on with the oil and gas industry this morning, what's happening in the markets, all of that. How it's Russia and Ukraine affecting drug prices and all this other stuff. So check them out. Morninginvest.com/Moomoo today to get those free stocks. Okay, what are our poll results?
All right, poll results. Out of 897 votes, we're at 15% yes, 85% no.
And what was the question you asked again?
Are you okay with higher gas prices to support Ukraine?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you for your vote, whatever it was.
As if that actually does help Ukraine. I mean, that's the funny part about these questions, right? Like, the truth of that matter is it doesn't matter, because it's not going to support or help Ukraine.
Right. Just like changing your logo or putting your, you know, your their flag on your profile does nothing.
Right. Exactly. Yeah.
Okay, Tanya Hunkenmara, $5. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Super chat. Thank you.
Cryptologia. What about Ukraine crypto airdrop?
I don't understand the question.
Okay. And then another one from the same person. Ukrainian know that Zelensky is in Poland bunker.
Oh, is that what?
Is that true?
That's what you think, then.
That he's in Poland, not even in Ukraine at the moment?
In a bunker.
Huh. Stacy M. MO613, I know this is off topic, but what is the name of the self-molding ear? Oh, I sent her a link to the UE Fits. Tyrell, yes. ML, I'm okay paying more taxes for college and healthcare, not more for gas prices.
Okay, but you don't have that option.
Yeah, and yeah. Why would you want to pay more for healthcare and college? Like, we already pay through the nose as it is. Like, it's very
maybe
kind
they just
of
mean
you.
as a tax to give it to everyone. Maybe
right.
That's all
that,
I see.
But yeah. There is no tax for that right now.
I see
now,
what, you mean.
So.
I see what
right.
you mean. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Sandy McLeod already answered hers about the putting the what you're reading on the website. Shelly Say, I am a single mom whose child is deployed. It cost me $85 to fill up my car. I make a minimum wage, so goodbye groceries. Hello, ramen noodles. Crazy.
Oh, girl.
Jeez.
I'm sorry about that.
Yeah. And that's all the super chats.
And I think that, yeah, someone's saying they think the airdrop was canceled for that crypto question, the Ukrainian airdrop.
Oh. And no, we had a super chat. Maybe you missed this one for $19, I thought, was about our titling. And I thought that that's worth about.
Oh, yeah.
About media.
Oh, yeah. Okay, maybe I didn't start, but I have it right here. It said,
can you read it?
Big Show. Yeah, it was Big Show for $19.99. Don't take this the wrong way. I like you guys, but it's kind of hypocritical to talk about warmongers and media propaganda, yet your thumbnail titles using World War III and nuclear war fear to get viewers is kind of ...
I take that hit. And, you know, I think that we should answer for the fact that we absolutely want your attention and we want to offer context at the same time. Do you want to respond to that?
Yeah,
that's fair.
I mean, here's our title today, Nuclear War, Russia Readies Warheads, which is true. Russia has put their nuclear warheads and the 6,000 of them and their troops on the ready as the U.S. joins the war by sending jets, by having Chuck Schumer talk about all of the ballistic missiles and javelin missiles and stinger missiles and jets that we are now sending to Ukraine is exactly what's happening. So,
yes.
You know, it's, yeah, maybe it's a little shocking, but also I want you to click on it so you watch our show and we can have a discussion about it. Like,
yeah.
If I just put, why don't we just title it the date,
March 9th?
How about we just title the show from now on? Like, I'll just put the word show or...
No, we own this. We want you here. We want you to feel that way, but we don't want to feed you any kind of extra shock value. So I think that we own that one, and I did not take it the wrong way. I appreciate the honesty.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you gotta.
Yeah, I didn't want to jump over that one. Now we're really done. We will see you tomorrow. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be here same bat time, same bat place. Be sure you're subscribed to the newsletter and hit that like button if you will.
Indeed. We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.